According to the early scriptures, the Buddha himself never directly answered questions put to him about the origin of the universe. In a famous simile, the Buddha referred to the person who asks such questions as a man wounded by a poisoned arrow. Instead of letting the surgeon pull the arrow out, the injured man insists first on discovering the caste, name, and clan of the man who shot the arrow, whether he is dark, brown, or fair, whether he lives in a village, town, or city, whether the bow used was a long bow or a crossbow, whether the bowstring was fiber, reed, hemp, sinew, or bark, whether the arrow shaft was of wild or cultivated wood, and so forth. Interpretations of the meaning of the Buddha's refusal to answer these questions directly vary. One view is that the Buddha refused to answer because these metaphysical questions do not directly pertain to liberation. Another view, primarily argued by Nagarjuna, is that insofar as the questions were framed on the presupposition of the intrinsic reality of things and not on dependent origination, responding would have led to a deeper entrenchment in the belief in a solid inherent existence. The questions are grouped slightly differently in the different Buddhist traditions. The Pali canon lists 10 such unanswered questions, while the classic Indian tradition, inherited by the Tibetans, lists the following 14. 1. Are the self and the universe eternal? 2. Are the self and the universe transient? 3. Are the self and the universe both eternal and transient? 4. Are the self and the universe neither eternal nor transient? 5. Do the self and the universe have a beginning? 6. Do the self and the universe have no beginning? 7. Do the self and the universe have both beginning and no beginning? 8. Do the self and the universe have neither beginning nor no beginning? 9. Does the Blessed One exist after death? 10. Does the Blessed One not exist after death? 11. Does the Blessed One both exist and not exist after death? 12. Does the Blessed One neither exist nor not exist after death? 13. Is the mind the same as the body? 14. Are the mind and body two separate entities? Despite the scriptural tradition of the Buddha's refusal to engage on this level of metaphysical discourse, Buddhism as a philosophical system in ancient India developed a long history of delving deeply into these fundamental and perennial questions about our existence and the world we live in. My own Tibetan tradition has inherited this philosophical legacy. There are two main traditions of cosmology in Buddhism. One is the Abhidharma system, shared by many Buddhist schools, such as Theravada Buddhism, which is the dominant tradition to this day in countries like Thailand, Sri Lanka, Burma, Cambodia, and Laos. Although the tradition of Buddhism that came to Tibet is Mahayana Buddhism, especially the version of Indian Buddhism known as the Nalanda tradition, Abhidharma psychology and cosmology became an important part of the Tibetan intellectual landscape. The primary work on the Abhidharma system of cosmology that made its way into Tibet was Vasubandhu's Treasury of Higher Knowledge, Abhidharma Kosha. The second cosmological tradition in Tibet is the system found in a collection of important Vajrayana Buddhist texts belonging to the genre of theory and practice known as the Kalachakra, which literally means Wheel of Time. Although tradition attributes the core teachings of the Kalachakra cycle to the Buddha, it is difficult to identify precisely the date of origin of the earliest known works in this system. Following the translation of the key Kalachakra texts from Sanskrit into Tibetan in the 11th century, Kalachakra came to occupy an important place in the Tibetan Buddhist heritage. By the age of 20, when I began my systematic study of the texts that discuss Abhidharma cosmology, I knew that the world was round, had looked at photographic images of volcanic craters on the surface of the moon in magazines, and had some inkling of the orbital rotation of Earth and moon around the sun. So, I must admit, when I was studying Vasubandhu's classic presentation of the Abhidharma cosmological system, it did not much appeal to me.